Yo, yo, what's good, world? This is your man, Jeff, a.k.a. Blacksmith, jumping off once again on The Jump Off with another episode of The Jump Off that is not your weekly quickies. That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. DSI.
Yeah, JD, please name this episode not your weekly quickies.
Gotcha.
But don't put a lot of mouthfuls or whatever you just said.
Hashtag
right there.
NYWQ. Yeah, that would be it.
You trying to do acronyms on the fly.
Yeah,
all
acronyms
right.
on the fly. Yep. So, okay. Meaning this episode, we're not going to do quickie style. We're going to do kind of a round robin of all the latest and greatest events that are going on right now. And I have...
It's not even that, really. It's just the shit that we want to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, latest and greatest in our lives. I'm not going to say in general, because I can't speak for the thousands of fans that we have. Right, guys?
Yeah, you know. eventually, we'll get to tens of thousands pretty soon.
Yeah. Or at least hundreds as it relates to Facebook.
Yeah. Well, it would be more if we had to delete a lot of people. Stop spamming the group page, people.
Yeah, man. Stop selling, like, Asian wristwatches and colognes and some perfumes.
And
yeah.
Don't try to put us on some damn pyramid that you can make $500 a week if you get involved in this pyramid scheme.
Hey, no disrespect, but I've had to ban that picture of that cockeyed Chinese girl, like, 3 times.
Oh,
I know that's not a Chinese person probably creating that profile, but there's this person who keeps friend requesting us with under different pictures, and then every time they post something, it's like a cockeyed Chinese girl.
You know what?
I don't understand that, man.
You know what that means? You got to ban them forever. It's one thing to delete them. You guys just ban them for life.
Yeah, I'll make sure I do that now. I thought I did, but maybe I did, and they created new profiles. I don't know.
Peep gang, I do not fuck with pyramids, all right? So if you come to pyramid, your ass is grass. Real talk. Get a fucking job, okay?
Jump off fans, as you can see, that dude named Dave and JD are also on the line with me tonight.
Oh, yeah. Hey, so, how you doing?
That dude was good, man.
I'm all right, man, you know, besides the fucking pyramids. And we can't talk about it today, but, you know, we're recording on a Monday. I watched Breaking Bad late last night, and then, of course, I watched Boardwalk Empire, man, and my TV fix is just off the chain.
No doubt. I had to do a formal introduction. You know how I do. And also, we have Jay to the motherfucking D. What's poppin', JD?
Yo, not much, man. Ready to do this? You know how I do.
You saw somebody uncle that's always busy.
Yep.
The uncle that wears the high black socks up to the kneecap with the sandals.
Yep.
I like green socks, man. Green socks.
Oh no, but you know you black though, so you wear the black tube socks. No, the dressing socks. You know you wear up to your kneecaps, and then you got the sandals that don't match.
Hey, real talk. Real talk.
That.
I wore high black socks with flip flops a little while ago to check the mail, and it's like a 10-minute walk to the mail because it's in the middle of hometown.
Oh wow! Yep. So you've really gone to that stature now, huh?
Yeah, I get a little comfortable around these parts.
You got a little comfortable.
Hey,
huh?
you know what? Speaking of a little bit comfortable, man, I was really tempted to wear some brown colored sandals with no socks one day.
JD, you own sandals?
Wow.
No, I got some Adidas sandals, but I was real tempted to go cop me some because they look real nice with these khaki shorts I got.
JD, you are built like a fucking MMA fighter already, and you over here rocking that kind of style? Hey. Dude, I didn't say that I did it.
I said I was tempted to.
JD, okay, so the Adidas sandals that you own are the kind that have like, they're not like sandals. They're with the basketball players wear, right? Those type
yeah.
of sandals?
Yeah, okay.
The ones you're willing to buy, you were thinking about buying the brown ones. Were those the same style, or are you talking about, as we would call them, bitch-mades?
Yeah, they were some bitch-mades ones, man.
So you were going to go and buy those wheat straw shits? Are you serious, man?
Oh.
JD, we made a pact 10 years ago that we would not do that, man.
Oh, whoa, you're going way back before I even met you guys 10 years ago.
We packed in college. JD and I were sitting in classes at Augustana College circa 99 to 2003. We would count how many white folks had on those fucking sandals, those fucking honey wheat straw sandals, man. And we promised ourselves we would never, ever, ever buy those.
And I said I was tempted. I didn't say that I did it.
Sorry.
But the fact that you were tempted means that you semi broke the pact.
Yeah, you did.
I thought that's like
cheating. You know, you see a girl and you have a chance. You know, you want to go ahead and hit, but you know, you pull back the last second, you might be caught. That's what you just did right there.
There's no way that I could bring myself to doing it, man.
JD, you can go buy Stacey Adams. I'll let you slide with that one, okay? Because that's, you know, you can buy Stacey Adams in a 2-piece. I'll let that slide, but you cannot buy.
You know what?
You know what? You know what? I trust your fashion sense. I take it back. Because I know you're fashionable, so I take it back.
No, we get older now. JD's been in Iowa for a long-ass time.
I trust that you won't buy Doc Martens or something like that, JD. I trust you, man. So
I wouldn't do that. I was real tempted to do it, but then, you know, my sensibilities kicked back in, and I was like, nah.
Yeah, feel free to get yourself a linen two-piece short set with the Stacey Adams and a Kango. That's fine. Like, my dad would do that. That's cool.
But your dad's in his 50s, though, Jeff. And JD, he's just in his early 30s, just breaking ground. You know, that's what's soon.
I wouldn't fuck with him if he did that, you know?
I'm still going to talk about you, but that's just me, though.
And full disclosure, like I said, JD, me wearing those flip flops outside with socks, I broke, you know, the pack to a certain extent.
No. That's still all right.
It's still okay. Okay, cool.
They weren't brown, were they?
No, they weren't brown. They were just, you know, blue rubber.
To the earth tone, blue rubber, earth tone fabric thong sandals, then that's a problem.
Okay. Hey, did you have a do-rag on while you went and got the mail, too?
That's one thing I still don't do, Dave. I don't go outside with my do-rag on.
Okay.
I was in college, I wouldn't leave my room without my do-rag on. I used to have do-rags to match my outfits.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
I learned something new every day.
But let's get into the proceedings. I know I feel like...
Sure.
All right, so we want to go ahead and kick it off with JD. He's going to talk about... What's his name? Bones Jones? I'm not really familiar with UFC, so...
Yeah, John Jones against Mr. Gustafson.
Yeah, it was a pay-per-view this weekend, wasn't it, JD? It was on pay-per-view or regular Fox? I saw Fox had a telecast, and then, of course, I left Buffalo Wild Wings, and then, you know, and I didn't catch the rest of it. I didn't see the fight. So was it a pay-per-view?
Yeah, it was a pay-per-view, UFC 165, up in Toronto, Canada. It was a unbelievable card. Well, the card was pretty average, but then the main event, which was John Jones versus Alexander Gustafson, was an incredible fight. Jones has never taken as much damage as he took in that fight. He was able to pull it out in a unanimous decision, but a lot of people are really questionable over whether he won. I'm one of the, like, Jones has never been, like, think about MMA. Everybody who knows MMA just a little bit knows that you can take a person down. I think Jones is 18-1 in his professional career, or I should say his UFC career.
Correct.
I don't know how he is in his pro career, but throughout his entire pro career, including the 19 fights that he's had in the UFC, he had never been taken down before, and he got taken down for the first time against Gustafson on Saturday. So that told you one thing. Gustafson was able to use his height and his reach to touch Jones a whole lot. It was one of those situations where Jones normally is the overwhelming size, has an overwhelming size advantage over the people that he fights, but this one he didn't. He still had the reach advantage, but he was an inch shorter than his opponent, so it was a little bit different, for him. So he was able to pull it out. I'm one of the people who agreed that Jones should have won. I think you have to really soundly beat the champ in order to take the belt from him, and I don't think that Gustafson was able to do that. But it was still an incredible fight, man. It was probably a top five, you know, fight in my opinion and a whole lot of other people's opinions in the UFC. So, you know, it was just one of those can't-miss events. If you got a computer, I'm guessing you listen to us on the computer. I'm sure you can YouTube the highlights. There's other various illegal sites where you can probably watch the whole thing. But, yeah, definitely go check it out if you get a second.
Let me say this here, JD. Everybody's making a big deal about Jones going down, right? Getting taken down, right?
Yep.
And I don't see it as a big problem unless he was fighting a scrub that was like 5-24. You know, he was not fighting a scrub, first of all. Number two is a fucking combat sport. You know, I mean, like, you're going to take punishment eventually. No one's invincible, especially for all the fights that he's now accumulated in the UFC. Now, we're not even talking about his previous fights before coming to the Ultimate Fighting Championship. So there's going to come a time when he is going to get knocked down or going to get hit cleanly and things of that nature. So it'd been one thing if he was fighting a scrub, you know, and be like, oh, my God, what the hell is going on here? This dude took this guy lightly. But it's the inevitable that he's finally find an opponent that is going to have some sort of advantage where that he's not going to dominate all five rounds.
Right. And I mean, just for people who are, you know, more so fans of boxing and aren't really familiar with John Jones and, you know, his style and stuff. But
yeah, people like me.
It would be the equivalent of Floyd getting sort of like a flash knockdown, but getting right back up. You know, definitely got knocked off his feet by a punch to the head, and you know, you're like, oh shit! Like it's one of those situations. So, yeah, I mean, it's gonna happen. You know, I think that as time goes on, especially it seems like in MMA, fighters tend to age rather quickly. Like he's had a prolonged streak at the top, but I think as time goes on, you know, people, the fighters sort of start declining, and you know, the younger fighters continue their ascent. So these sort of things are bound to happen. I really don't think that that Jones lost the fight. Like I said, tons of people think that he did, but I didn't think that he lost the fight at all. But it would be great to see a rematch with that. And I mean, then too with Jones, he has a really bad toe on his right foot, so they believe that he broke it again, and also may have broken his left foot too. So he came out. I mean, they literally had to carry him out the cage once he was done. So both of those guys were super beat up, and you know, it looked horrible. But that's what you pay for. It was one of those fights that you couldn't that you expected could be good, but it lived up to and surpassed all the expectations.
All right.
Yeah, but yeah. What he said.
But you know, though, you are right. One thing I want to comment, JD, about saying the shelf life of MMA fighters is also the size and ounce of the clubs that they use. Not like boxing, where you have, as soon as you go certain weight classes, you know, you have your 12-ounce, you have your 10-ounce gloves. Man, UFC, baby, what are those 4-ounce mitts? I mean, basically, like, biker gloves that y'all be rocking?
Yeah, man, it's
with a little bit of padding.
They usually rock the 4-ounce gloves. Some fights will drop it all the way down to 3, so it's...
Yeah, I mean, that's vicious.
Yeah, the padding is there just to keep you from, you know, breaking knuckles every time you punch, but you know, those are some thin gloves, man.
Right, that, and people don't realize too that even though you have padding to protect your hand, getting hit with those type of gloves or even boxing gloves hurt more flush than getting hit with your hand. Yeah. Because if you're a trained professional like these guys are, you're learning how to hit flush using the entire glove. So you got to think about MMA, you only use a 4 rounds, basically, I say biker gloves, and you hit someone flush in the face, those guys got concussions the first round, easily. Yep. And then you got to think about those fighting the championship rounds when you get to, like, Jones status, you're fighting 5 minutes, 5 rounds, you take your shots to the head and then elbows and forearms and shit like that that's going through, you probably come out with 20 concussions in a fight easily.
Yeah, it's a brutal sport, man. It's a brutal sport. Yesterday.
You know, but hey, shout out to Jones. He's the king. He found a way. Not everybody's gonna have an ascent to every fight's gonna be easy. You're gonna have some tough ones because there are legit challengers everywhere you go, depending on the style. And he came out on top, you know. And so hopefully his injuries are not too bad. Well, we get to see him and talk about him again in the near future, you know.
Yeah, he's definitely gonna be tabled until the probably April of next year. I would guess.
Yeah, we can easily say that because it's end of September now. He's not fighting the rest of the year. He's done.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely.
And he's not like other MMA fighters. He has a nice little contract of Nike, so he do got a little nest egg too as well.
Oh, yeah, he has a ton of endorsements: Nike, Gatorade,
yes,
Lightwear, a whole bunch of them.
He's not hurting for money, so shout out to Jones for doing his thing. I mean, people, calm down. People get knocked down. Come on.
Yeah, it happens.
Yes, it does. On to the next.
Before we get to the next one, I was just doing like a quick update on Facebook, and I did a hashtag Team Jump Off and just did a search, and there's a Team Jump Off in Toronto that's the hip-hop clothing company.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them before.
Yeah, and they have like jeans that say the Team Jump Off on them.
Oh, man.
Don't make a link up and sponsor us.
Should I share the picture on our page or just
ignore
them?
I think it's time I need to contact our lawyer.
Oh, right.
We got to see some copyright infringements here maybe happening here.
Yeah, they up in Drake Land in Toronto.
You know, our lawyer, Weinstein. You know,
Weinstein. Saul Weinstein.
He would be getting a phone call from me after we get done recording to find out if there's any legal ramifications we may have or if we get a percentage cut out of them jeans up north.
Yeah, they have hoodies, crew necks, belts, and tees.
Okay.
The Jump Off.
Nice to know.
Interesting. Okay.
Right.
But yeah, on to the Bears, right?
Hey!
3-0. as opposed to three and out.
I gotta say, Jeff and JD, that last night's game, it was like the tale of two games.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know if you guys felt the same way. I'm watching this game, and I was texting you guys. I was like, this game can get out of hand ugly in a major way. And it did. And all of a sudden, it seemed like they kind of got lackadaisical, you know, and it seemed like they got that big old lead. He kind of fell back. And then all of a sudden, the defense just came back and says, you know what, fellas, let these guys back in the game, and these guys ain't better than us. Let's go ahead and put our foot on their freaking neck and call it a day. You know, and the defense, I want to hear what you guys feel about it. I mean, like, every year, they just find a way to get turnovers all the damn time when they need to. Yeah,
super consistent defense. But the thing that I'm like, most happy with, I just really, really like Trestman, man. Like, I like his demeanor. I like the way he talks. Like, his play call. I just really like dude.
Yes, the offense is consistent. After me and JD were talking last night, and it's not an explosive offense. People make a big deal when Chip Kelly got his big-time contract with Oregon. You know, Trestman, he has a track record in the NFL. It's not explosive. It's not wham, bam, thank you, man. But it's just when it's clicking, it's free, it's flowing, everything's moving, every receiver, running back getting their time, getting the rock, and points are getting put on the board.
Yeah,
it's not fancy, but it gets the job done.
And at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is W's, and they got three of them.
That's right,
and
JD.
I think that the offense is something that's still a work in progress too. I mean, yep. The offense that we see right now is not going to be the same, you know, sort of offense that they're going to have, you know, week 7, 8, 9, 10. You know, it should be, you know, another step or two better. So that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to. I mean, it's just nice to see a professional offense out there. Just, you know, there's never those situations where throughout that game, like, I felt a little bit nervous, but it wasn't like when I felt like the Bears couldn't score. Like, there were
like the Bears passed.
Yeah,
we felt the game was over. If it's like 2 years ago, we're like, oh, it's over. They're going to come back and get us.
Yep.
You know what you mean, Daisy? I felt that way. Last night was like, we still got this. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's like you have a lot more hope built up, and rightfully so.
Yep. And then it's, you know, you got a quarterback who finally seems to understand that, you know, he did some things last night. Like, you know, he's been doing the checkdowns a lot, but I saw two passes where, you know, he just upped and threw it away. And I mean, that's something that Jay Cutler was not doing a whole lot of last year. And I'm just glad to see that, you know, through three games, the Bears have given up three sacks. Like, that is amazing.
Yeah. A couple of points here. We got Brandon Marshall. If you were listening here, we're from Chicagoland area, you know, thinking that's why we're talking about the Bears, of course. But Brandon Marshall is an all-pro. But people forget, though, that Alshon Jeffery, you could say technically, is still a rookie. He was hurt most of all last year. Yep. He, you know, so the fact that
he's like Blake Griffin first full season.
And then it's a new offense, too, as well. So you got to think, this is his third offense in 3 years now. College, last year with Lovie Smith and Mike Tice was running the offense, and now we got Trestman. So, yeah, look at the fact that he's been in three offenses in 3 years now. And so him being our number two and the way he's been targeted, who's just as big or I think even bigger and stronger than Brandon Marshall, he's coming on strong here. And Bennett is really coming up big for the money we gave him right now. I know New York Giants, how horrible and suck butt they look right now at 0-3. Probably wish they had a little bit of Bennett in their lives right now. You know, and
Stephen A. Smith is, you saw First Take today.
He's
mortified over the Giants right now.
Yeah, anybody in New York right now probably seeing the sky is falling right now if you're a Giants fan. I would hate to be out there in the East Coast right now. And also, too, I want to get you guys' thoughts on, as much as Jay Cutler gets talked about, that 12-yard run, and then he dropped his throwing shoulder.
He dropped his shoulder. Yeah.
And then he barely got knocked down. He basically dropped right back up afterwards, ran to the huddle. I mean, like, it seemed like that one little run, and all of a sudden now Jay Cutler is like, hey, no, everybody's happy about him now. He's nice now.
I'm cool with Cutler and him trying to be a tough guy, but he better not ever fucking lower his throwing shoulder into somebody like that again, man.
Hey, I fucks with Cutler, dude. If you ever watch the fucking League, one of my favorite TV show comedies, he was on the show last week, all right? So that must have been an omen right there, the fact that he was in the League, you know, and they had this little skit going on where the people, you know, the show is based in Chicago and suburbs by the fantasy football league team, and then the one guy's wife stole Jay Cutler's wife's breast milk, you know, and everything like that, you know. So, hey, I think it was the omen from the league that gave Cutler, you know, a little bit of extra sauce.
That's hilarious. their upcoming schedule, too, I don't know it offhand, but they can really rack up some W's. Over the next like 5 to 6 games.
Yeah, the only thing that their schedule does hit a point over the next few weeks where it gets a little bit easier. They still have a few more home games left, but the last 4 out of their last 6 games are on the road, so that's going to be kind of tough. And they face Green Bay in November, and then they face them again for the last game of the season. So odds are that it's going to come down to the end. So. I'm looking forward to it, though. I wish we can, you know, it kind of sucks about Henry Melton. And
yeah, that was bad news today about his ACL. That sucked because he was all pro last year.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and that's going to be a huge loss. Someone's got to step up. But even if the schedule gets kind of bad at the end of the season, the whole idea is you're 3-0. You stack these W's now so that if you do run a rough patch, you're kind of good to go. Because if you notice in the NFL playoffs, all you need to do is get in, and hopefully you're playing some somewhat decent ball, have a little role going to get into the playoffs, then anything can happen. You know, look at the Arizona Cardinals few years ago when they went to the Super Bowl, or the Giants when they won the Super Bowl twice in the last, 5 years or so. I mean, the best team is not always one. Look at the Ravens last year.
Yeah,
all you got to do is get in.
Any given Sunday, like they say.
Yeah, if you get in, if you're playing halfway decent, you know, get a little momentum going. It don't matter. There's a clean slate, you know, and call the day. Whoever's the best team, who's hot, is going to win. So if we bank 3 games right now, and then the way the NFC North is going right now, Minnesota, good God, 0-3, lost to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. I know in the coming weeks, we're going to definitely be – we got to bring a sports show back probably just because of football. But
right, yes, definitely.
Yeah. So we'll definitely be – leading with Bears news and then other NFL news as well, too. So.
But Green Bay losing, they were down 14-0, then put up 30 unanswered points, then blew a 16-point lead, you know, for them to lose again yesterday. So they're 1-2. Minnesota's 0-3, so only competition is really Detroit. And do you really want to put a lot of stock in Detroit right now still, the way they play?
But they 1-2?
Are they 2-1 or 1-2, JD?
2-1, 2-1.
Oh, okay.
I mean, even though they're 2-1, it's the Lions. And I know your boy Nick is a big Lions fan, JD.
Yeah, he is.
And if he's listening, I know you may be a diehard fan, but let's be realistic here. It's the Lions. I mean, Sue is going to get penalized again. Did you see the hit that he threw like a forearm or a punch to somebody that it didn't get caught until like a day later? And it was like, well, he won't get suspended because it got caught late. But they showed like this close-up and you couldn't see it right away. And next you know, he's like giving a dude a haymaker. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this motherfucker? All he does is stomp some balls. You know, he throws haymakers. He tried to rip helmets off. And then he appeals saying, I didn't do shit. Motherfucker, you got problems.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, man. I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a tough guy who's trying to act tough, but really, you know, I don't really see him being tough because he always, you know, stomping cats out that are like 150 pounds lighter than him. I want to see him do that to somebody who's the same size. Then I'll call him a tough guy.
Yeah, the book remains open with that one. We'll see what happens with him.
It's getting kind of closed right now for me.
That's hilarious.
After his rookie year, what has he done?
Yeah.
Before we close the segment here. After his rookie year, he had a good rookie year, but after then, nothing but fines and suspect shit.
Good point. I agree. We're going to move on to our next topic at hand, and that would be boxing.
Oh, yeah. We missed the week last week, so we couldn't talk about this last week.
Yeah. And, of course, like the culmination of myself and Dave's trips was the actual boxing match on Saturday, September 14th, between Floyd Mayweather and Canelo Alvarez. As you heard our last show, we had the predictions out there. It was our first tri-coastal show we ever did, and we pulled it off without a hitch. So good job with that, fellas.
Can I say something really fast? I made predictions that day, but I am on the record, and I have proof that I changed them. I am on the record, and I changed them, and I had them documented before the fight. So I changed them after I recorded the show. I just couldn't do it because we didn't record another show.
What record are they on, Dave? Where's the correct is it in your phone or in your mind? Or where?
No. If they're on my iPad, I can post them to the Jump Off group page and everything else. Now it's at the weigh-in. I put one video at the weigh-in that I had when Adrian Broner said, he's going to knock the fuck out of Marcus Medina. But I am on the record after that show to change it, because what happened was I was in Vegas and I've never been to an atmosphere where the hype caught me up. I got caught up with the hype being out here and following people who don't follow boxing like me. So I was persuaded. But as soon as we got done talking on the show, I had some free time to myself, my nice little suite, and thought about it for a second like I normally do. I was like, hey, wait a minute. I don't like my picks because I normally don't think that way. So
I got you. So you almost fell for the okie doke.
Yes, I did.
That Vegas juice. And you have to come back to reality. I got you.
Yes, that Vegas secret sauce, man.
Yeah, yeah. But how did your vacation end up, Dave? Was it pretty good? Like the last couple days?
Oh wow! I mean, I gotta say that the atmosphere, the vibe with the weigh-in, it was something else to be there. 12,000 people screaming, yelling. It was more of a party than a boxing weigh-in, because the MGM has never been like that ever for a boxing weigh-in, first of all. And I got to say, you know, like, just to have all those boxers show up, I mean, the way Golden Boy and Mayweather promotion set that up, they have boxers who wouldn't have been part of the promotion team, but they were introduced like they were part of their promotion team. And I know HBO had to be fucking pissed. I mean, Andre Ward was there kicking it like he was down with Golden Boy. Like, what? Yeah, Andre Ward was there. Chris Ariola, down Main Events, was there like he was down for Golden Boy. You had so many other boxers who were not affiliated, but just because you have problems because who you're signed with don't agree with each other, the boxers are normally best friends with each other. Yeah. You know, they have a good, unless it's a fight building up, they got to promote it. Yeah. But just to see all those fighters show up, it was like a party at the weigh-in. It was something else. And also got to say, too, I posted this on Facebook. I have never been ever scared for my life after a boxing fight ever after that fight Saturday night.
Yeah, dude, speak on it, man, because you told me, you called me, and you said that it was after the fight, it was a totally different vibe. And, quote, unquote, the Mexicans are like they wanted to get it popping with y'all.
Oh, here's the thing. Mexicans, y'all know y'all love y'all boxing. It's only boxing and soccer. That's the only thing that counts. Boxing, soccer, the Virgin Mary, and Jesus. That's all that matters to Mexico.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to be real. Come on now. You know the Mexicans, Jeff. You know, both of y'all childs are half Mexican.
Boxing, soccer, the Virgin Mary, and Jesus are the four most important things in the Mexican's life, huh?
That's it. And,
wow,
Dave. Yes.
Some of them. I can't say all. That's
okay. Wow. Okay. The ones that
hopefully it's not in that order.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Well, soccer won. I'll put that, you know.
Soccer won.
boxing 1B. But being there, I know that the crowd's going to be pro-Canelo. Because remember, we went last year for Cotto. Even though he's Puerto Rican, he's Latino, and it was a pro-Cotto crowd.
Yeah.
Same thing, I expected that. But even when we were in line at the, you know, trying to get into the fight, things of that nature, they had their chance. They had the Mexican flash yelling, Canelo, Canelo. And, you know, the brothers, you know, if we there for a fight, you know, we there for Floyd. Let's just be real about it.
Right.
You know? And so we were doing our chant.
Same way we was there for Obama.
Yeah.
Because exactly. He's black.
Yeah. Now,
horrible.
You know,
Floyd, I know, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, but Floyd got his chant. Hard work, dedication. So the brothers were yelling the hard work, dedication chant. As soon as we would get started, the Mexicans would start yelling the Canelo so loud, their chant, that we had to stop because we couldn't out chant them. We knew it. Everybody looked, hey, yo, we need to stop right now. We got to pick our point. We got to pick our time. We can't do this right now. They're getting us right now. It ain't that many of us. We got to be precise when we do our chant, you know. But going into the fight, it was, I don't know why Mexicans, I'm not trying to be racist, people. Why y'all look at me, know the way I dressed? I'm blinged out, I'm iced out, you know? I look like I could be part of Money Team Saturday Night. I made sure for a fact the way I was dressed. You don't come up to me and ask me who I'm rooting for.
Oh, man, come on now. That's disrespectful. Who you rooting for?
You know what I didn't even thank Floyd. You know what I said to every person who asked me that? I said, hard work, dedication.
So So people ask you who are you rooting. People ask you who are you rooting for, and you said hard work, dedication.
Yes.
Wow.
That's funny and ignorant at the same time.
Why is it ignorant? I know what I'm saying.
not ignorant on your, from your.
Oh, okay. But during the fight, I will explain to our Jump Off fans that this was the culmination of a real life version of the Great White Hype. You've seen the movie, JD, right? With Samuel Jackson and David Wayne.
Of course, yeah, of course.
Seen it too. And remember how they built this fight because, you know, got a white boxer, and within 7 weeks, they made him to be like the biggest thing in boxing and this hype in the whole stadium. The MGM, of course, you know, was all pro white Irish. Oh, they sang "Oh Danny Boy," you know. And then when Damian Wayne knocked out in the first round, you saw the little midget drop, you know, almost fall to his feet and commit suicide. The little boy in the wheelchair dropped his flag and wanted to die. All the white folks were upset. You know, you saw the brothers. They was all getting amped up. It was like, yeah, that's what's up, motherfuckers. That is the real life version. That movie was not fake. That's actually something that probably happened before, and that's how they made that movie, because I saw that happen in Culmination Saturday night. Because the first couple of rounds, boy, the Mexicans were live. They were like chanting, they were rooting, they were on their feet. We couldn't say nothing. The black folks didn't have a say, or even the white people who are Americans who fought Floyd. You know, we didn't have a say. White folks didn't have a say. Until after the fifth or sixth round, and the Mandalay Bay where I was at start getting quieter.
Still get progressively quieter after the fight.
But you know, the brothers start getting louder and louder.
That makes sense.
And then we were yelling hard work, dedication. And then I'm telling you, people left early.
As in how early, though, Dave? Like
the 10th round.
10th round? You shitting me, dog. Why would somebody leave 10th round?
Because they knew that Floyd had given him a good old-fashioned boxing ass whooping.
They didn't even think at that point Canelo could have knocked him with one good one. That's they see any people who left, any Canelo supporters who left 10th round, that's not real fans.
No, they're not.
That's not true fans, because if he's that strong, you can't mm-hmm. leave two rounds before the fight is over. My fault.
No. Yeah. Girlfriends and wives who are there with their man start falling asleep by putting their head on their man's shoulder. And, you know, I mean, the people next to me, wanted to beat my ass, you know, because every time Floyd was popping them, I was yelling, pop the jab, yeah, bitch. And everybody, and then there's this one black guy, people. He came up and down the aisles. This one dude, he saw me, he saw the black people in the area. He was like, yeah, y'all Chen Canelo, where y'all bitch asses at now? He was getting it.
Oh, shit, are you serious?
Yeah, I mean,
what did they say when he said that?
50 Mexicans wanted him to beat his ass and told him to shut the fuck up, and then he would come up to me. He was like, hard work, and I yelled back, dedication, you know? So
that dude is bold as hell, man. That dude is bold as hell that he can survive that closed circuit.
I gotta say this too, though. When I talk,
oh my gosh, I can't believe that, man. Yeah,
say this, JD and Jeff, that and please, if you're a Mexican descent, I want you to respond back to what I got to say here. If you're a big boxing fan, you guys are irrational and blind.
Oh, my goodness.
I will say it. Know why? Because I witnessed over 12,000 Mexicans when Floyd hit him with the replays, when they showed the replays during the fight. And you would see Canelo with the sweat knocked off his face from a shot. And know what they're going to say? Oh, he didn't hit him that hard. He backed away and took 50 seconds before he threw another punch. That means that obviously hurt. In the seventh round, when Canelo's on the ropes and Floyd peppered him for about 30 to 40 seconds in that routine, the guy next to me actually telling me that Floyd was, in quote, he's fucking running and I'm tired of him.
It was a guy next to me. I'm assuming he may have been Cuban. I'm not sure. In a movie theater, it wasn't as big of an atmosphere, but he kept saying Floyd was running the whole fight too.
And I was like, I said, are you? I said, do you need my glasses? I literally took my glasses off and handed it to him and his friend. I was like, running. I said, Canelo's against the ropes and Floyd's not moving, but only thing that's moving is his hands to his face. So if you want to say he's running, his hands, his left and his right hand, was running back and forth across Canelo's forehead, his nose, and his fucking jaw. If you want to say he's running. And after the fight, they were all yelling, I'm done with boxing. Boxing is fixed. I never pay another money for a Floyd fight again. And I was like, no disrespect to y'all, but I can pull up my tablet right now, and your own boy Chavez said that Canelo's good, but he is not great. He's TV manufactured. So why are you upset now when one of your own?
Chavez Senior or Junior said that.
Chavez Senior said it a year ago.
Are you serious about Canelo?
Yes, he's happy that. Chavez Senior is happy that you have a Mexican boxer who's bringing Mexico back to the forefront of superstar status.
Right.
But you can Google this. I'm not lying. You can Google a Chavez interview from last year that he is TV manufactured.
So he said he's all right, but he's not real.
He is all right, but he's not real. Exactly.
Wow.
And after the fight, anybody who was a pro Floyd fan, of course the black folks, because no way we were dressed, young, hardworking dedication, everyone, the Mexicans wanted to beat our ass. And at one point, when we finally got the Mandalay Bay, about 15 black folks, including me and my pops, shout out to my dad, came with me this past weekend, walked 3 hotels to find a cab because, it was already packed anyway. We stayed together because we were worried about getting our asses whooped. And so we stayed in the pack together so that if someone's going to go down, at least we weren't going to get beat down one-on-one. We're going to have a crew together until we got to a few hotels down on the strip.
Hey, real talk, man. I'm really, really happy that you all made it out safely like that, because it sounds like that was actually really crazy when the fight was over. I know we're all passionate about sports, but that's ridiculous.
Hey, can I say something? Yeah, like,
it was
when we went to the Cotto fight last year, like, we was in that bitch turning up, like,
yeah, it was love. And was at the Puerto crazy. Ricans, it was like a good, it was a fun thing.
Yeah, but that's what I was gonna say. We was in there going back and forth with the Puerto Rican guys.
Right.
But, like, once it was over, we was all shaking up and everything.
Yeah, like, it sounded like they wanted blood after this.
And that's a different. Puerto Ricans are passionate about boxing, but at the same time, though, there's a level of, I'm not trying to single out, maybe because it's one night, but there's been instances in boxing where this has happened more than one time. Where, Puerto Ricans, of course, when it comes to brothers, there's going to be a mutual level of respect there. The Mexicans, and I'm not trying to sound racist, but they're passionate. But they're passionate to a degree where it's like blind faith.
Hey.
Where if something doesn't go their way, bad things can happen if you say the wrong thing.
Hey, the Mexican in my house, a.k.a. my woman, just said, and she's backing up what you just said, Dave. She said when it comes to Mexicans, it's blood in, blood out.
Yes.
That's what she just said, so.
And I'm not saying it's to dog any Mexicans on our show here. I'm saying what me and my dad, and some people are saying, Dave, you just like overblown it. I said, my dad is 68 years old. He an old black man. He ain't got no reason to lie. You know what I'm saying? He can co-sign everything I said that I'm telling you guys right now. And it got to a point, we were walking out. My dad was like, he didn't go from, like, me and him like best friends. Like, as I'm older now. But he went from best friend to daddy mode. David, shut the fuck up. Let's walk the fuck out of this fucking hotel. Let's get to our room.
Wow. Yeah, you got to your father peep game. You know.
Yeah. And I got to say this here. I may not live in this time here, but the vibe that gave off was the early 1900s, Jim Crow, and the Mexicans were the white racist KKK.
Oh, wow. All right.
He said, oh, wow.
No, I'm being honest here. I know we're running close on time here, but that is what I experienced after the fight. And I was explaining to some Mexicans. I was like, look, it's not bad to lose to the greatest fighter of our generation. He is an all-time great. He's arguably the best defensive fighter of all time. And you can honestly say you can make a candidate from being a top 10 fighter of all time. And even his lower weight classes, he's at 130, 135, probably 1, 2, or 3 best fighter of all time in that division. The fact that he went up to 154 and fought a guy who was 15 pounds heavier than him. So Floyd's going to be out of the game in about 2 years. Right. Canelo can bounce back and be the best fighter in the world.
And my thing is this, like, Floyd, after the fight and even the post-press conference, or whatever you want to call it, he kept giving Canelo props, saying he's the future. Like, he gave him so many props, so it wasn't like he beat him and was, like, talking shit about him. Like, he big up to him. He said he is the future of boxing.
And that's what Floyd does, though. Floyd builds up a fight, but he realizes, too, that he may not be owned by Golden Boy, but a lot of his money comes from working with Golden Boy.
Right.
So he's going to do as much as sell the fight, but he realizes after the fight, hey, the fight's over. I'm cashing my check now, and I got to work with these people in the future here. I'm going to big up this guy because by bigging him up, it's going to do me well in the future for Golden Boy anyway. So, I mean, JD, you said you had a share house here. Now, I don't know, like, were some of the people acting the same way and out your way too? I mean, I know.
No. Everybody in my crib was cool. Like, we weren't I mean, it was a lot of people here, and I would say it was mostly Mayweather fans, but we had a few Alvarez fans too, but nobody was like overly pissed off that he lost or anything like that. And it wasn't, and it, the decision of the fight and the way the fight was flowing didn't lend itself to, you know, it wasn't like it was a controversial loss or anything like that. Everybody knew that he lost except for the one judge. And,
oh, God.
and you know, it was nobody was hostile or anything, man.
And to add to when I left and I got to the Strip of Vegas, you know, we've gone to Vegas every year, and it's the first time we didn't go together. But the Strip felt like a Monday in December and snow had fell on the ground. That's how quiet the Strip was.
And this is a Saturday night.
This is a Saturday night. The only thing popping was I went to Planet Hollywood, you know, check out Kevin Hart's after party, because all the black folks were there. Black folks gonna kick it in, and then, of course, and then on top of that, too, there was more prostitutes on the Strip than regular people. Everybody was so upset about the outcome of the fight, they either committed suicide, went to their hotels, or left Vegas.
Or both, all three.
All the above. They went home to commit suicide. Or they went to the hotel to commit suicide. I have never seen Vegas so quiet and so dormant ever. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and only thing I could do was pick up a prostitute. That's how dull it was.
I know we're gonna have more literally? Conversation. You said really, JD?
No, I said literally.
Literally?
That's all you can do.
Did you do that, Dave?
No, that's not my game. I'm paying for it. You know what I'm saying? My game is, it's like, yo, I'm going to get it regardless, but if I got to pull the money out, it ain't going down like that. You know what I mean? So, you know, so like, and I would say this too, fellas, before we go. The pros, these weren't the pros we normally see every year in Vegas. These pros were imported. We had pros flying in from all over the freaking world because these ain't your Vegas pros. I never saw so many different kind of pros. I knew they were pros, but then I was like, yo, this is different here. I said, I wish the fellas were here to see this. You got European pros. You got Southern pros.
That's crazy. They getting that good money.
You know, it was pros all over. There was more pros than tourists after the Mexicans left the fight.
Wow. Hey, before we jump off, literally, real quick, yes. Can we talk about and see? I'm really doing this because I know y'all have probably seen it, but I haven't seen it. can you guys tell me? Give me a review of the Arsenio Hall show, the new one.
Oh, sure. I've been watching it. Jeff, have you seen it?
No, I've only seen a couple of interviews. I saw him with Kendrick Lamar and him with Big Sean. He's just as animated as he always has been, but I don't have anything else to add.
JD, have you been watching it?
No, I haven't seen it at all.
Okay, I will say this real fast in a short summary. It seemed like a flashback from the past. Like, I loved Arsenio Hall. I'm mad that we didn't have the internet back then, because when he went off the air, it was like, why? I stayed up every night. It's like, why is Arsenio Hall not on? Why is there some reruns of some freaking cop show on at 11 o'clock at night? You know, we didn't know no better why he got canceled, things of that nature. But it's only an hour long. It's from 10 o'clock to Central Time out here in Chicago on WGN. He only has like two guests and probably one musical guest, you know, to keep in his lane, because normally all the talk shows like an hour and a half, give or take. The one thing I do like about him is he's a natural stand-up comedian at heart anyway. So when he does his monologue, it's going to be a little bit more funnier than the other guys that I watch. So don't get me wrong, I love Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, Jimmy Fallon, you know what I mean? Jimmy Fallon, I love Jimmy Fallon. He's funny as hell. Him and Justin Timberlake be doing his thing when they do little skits. But as far as like the stand-up monologue, Arsenio Hall is naturally funnier than anybody out there right now. He's a better comedian. It's still a filling out process because it's new. I mean, he's been gone for 19 years.
The thing that shocks me is I didn't know he was 57 years old, man. Like, seriously, he's 57. Like, I was like, wow. He looks good for his age, first and foremost, but I'm like, wow. Right.
And also, we got to remember, too, like, his show went off the air 19 years ago.
Yeah.
He was, you know, in his late 20s, early 30s then.
Yeah.
When the show is going on, so it's just the fact he hasn't really ruined himself with the lifestyle of Hollywood. And I think when your best friend's Magic Johnson, see what he went through, I kind of would scare anybody if you didn't catch the bug then, you know. So, but I mean, it's a work in progress because you can tell there's little glitches and things of that nature. But because he's been off the air, but I'm curious to see like after 3 or 4 months when everything gets settled in, they get a groove going, you know, how it's going to turn out. Because most talk shows, the first couple of weeks, you would want to cancel him too. You know, you got to give him time because you invest so much into it, basically. You know, like Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon, they wanted to cancel him after a week, and you see how good those guys are doing right now. I mean, the fact he brought Jay Leno, that was kind of funny, you know, because he said years ago that he'll kick Jay Leno's ass, and then they cool, you know, and had him on the couch talking to each other like he's a psychiatrist. You know, you had Snoop Dogg on the show, you had Ice Cube on the show. You know, Chris Tucker was on the show recently. So I think that it's September now. By the end of the year, you know, I think it's going to be a lot better, you know. Cool, but cool. By him being a natural comedian and stand-up monologue and then begin the show, it's just going to set him apart a little bit from the other guys.
And he's one of the few people on this planet who can take a 19-year layoff and come back and do the same type of show. So.
Well, it helped him the fact that he was on The Apprentice last year. Yeah. I don't know if you guys watched The Celebrity Apprentice, but every time they did some sort of, you know, thing that they had to do when he had to announce or host or be the spokesman, it was like watching the Arsenio Hall show back in the day again. He just natural with it. He's God-given talent when it comes to being just a natural MC or a host. So it's only natural for him to have his own TV show again. Cool. And I'm glad to see him on TV.
Yeah, big props. Big shout-out to Arsenio Hall. JD, yeah. You want to let us know of any upcoming things you got going on before we sign off here.
Man, kickandmakeup.com. Check it out. We just released the teaser trailer for a documentary that me and my partner, Nick Cunningham, are shooting with a fighter who's going to be signed to Bellator MMA. He's going to have a fight coming up on October 18th. Every week leading up to his fight, we're going to have a new episode starting on October 1st. The documentary is called 4-0 Bellator. We also have on the following week after the 18th, I don't know what day it is. I could look it up real quick. But the following week, which is the 26th of October, I have Cage Aggression MMA, who is having their final show of the year. Should be a really good card. Going to be commentating for that one. And then also the UFC is coming to the Midwest again in November, and I will probably be there to cover that on the 19th of November, I believe. So that's just the things over the next few months.
JD, for the Cage Aggression, is that going to be out in your neck of the woods?
Yes, Cage Aggression will be in Davenport, Iowa at the River Center. Should be a really good card. There's a few guys.
You said that's October 26th?
Yes, October 26th.
You should try to make that.
Yeah.
I don't think I have Jade that weekend.
Hey, you want to do a road trip? You know, I gas up the Beamer and we ride out?
Yeah. I have to double check because I don't think I have. Well, I'm talking about personal stuff on the thing. Yeah, we'll talk about it offline.
Check us out. If you don't got no personal things, team jump off. We'll take it on the road. JD's gonna be doing his commentating, yeah. And on the side we can do a jump off thing too as well. You know.
Hey, actually, it's October 12th. I'm sorry.
October 12th. Okay, October 12th. We supposed to do a team jump off Great America excursion that weekend.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because we want to do Great America after that, yep.
Out to the Team Jump Off fans, we're going to go to Great America for Fright Fest. So if you want to holler at us, we're going to do some recording and be at Six Flags before they close the park for the year. We'll be out there that weekend.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
So that's thanks for bringing that up, JD, so we can announce that if you're in the Chicagoland area and want to ride out to Gurnee and get your scream on and then holler at Team Jump Off and get on the show possibly, hey, you know where we at.
There you go. Maybe I'll see if I can snag the camera and we can record some shit, too. You know.
That'd be nice. Cool. If not, I'll just bring my iPad. Just as good.
All right, we're going to wrap it up for now.
Let's wrap it up. Oh, one last thing, too. I posted on the Jump Off group page for a boxing fight. Adrian Broner, Marcus Medina, MG and Grand, December 14th. I don't know. We might have to get some change here and do another Team Jump Off Vegas trip to be at the MG and Grand if we could pull that off, people.
Ooh.
Watch out now.
Ooh.
Just throw that out there. Since you made the MMA stuff, we might have to take another road trip, you know, and see if we can do that one, you know. But throw that out there, fellas.
No doubt. All right, y'all. Well, Team Jump Off fans, we hope you've enjoyed our latest and greatest show, and we'll holler at y'all next week. Peace.
Jump off.
Jump off.
Jump off. What you want, pump, double clip, pump, ride, slump, jump off, homie, jump off. All these haters on my, don't jump off. All those streets need is tickets to jump off. Jump off.